There have been moments in my life that have left strong memories there, as is the case for all of you. And I would love to have the opportunity to listen to them. It's just that we only have a few minutes for a sermon, so you're just going to have to listen to mine. On Friday, I was smart enough, guys, you'll appreciate this. I was smart enough that because my wife was sitting two rows in, one of the most important moments in my life was my marriage. Did I do well, guys? All right. But it's true. It's like it happened yesterday. And we're 40 years married this year, or be 41 this year. And it seems like it was yesterday. It left an incredible impact on my life and continues to do so. I'm not as nervous as that day, but it leaves still an impact on my life. The baptism of my children, when I could stand above or with them at the water and baptize my children, what an impression that has left in the three different churches that I have served, left a huge impression on my life. But there is another moment in my life that left a deep impression as well. And my wife was there and it left an impression on her life because it was the day of my ordination. And it was important for her as well because on that day, both of us were not, I was not only ordained, but my wife and I were also commissioned as missionaries to serve for the Lutheran Church in America in Argentina. So it was moving for her. It was a transforming time, and she still remembers it deeply. And so do I, because the person that I asked to preach the sermon that day was at the top of my list, but I figured he would be the least likely to come. He was a theologian who had such an incredible impact on my life, but had had an impact on the whole church. He was a man who rarely had an open day. He was always occupied with something. And so I thought, well, I'll at least ask him, and then I'll start going down the list, realizing that the two after him probably wouldn't do it either, and I'd be going way down on my list. So I went up and asked him. It was Dr. Walter Bowman, a systematic theologian at Trinity Seminary. And I said, Dr. Bowman, would you be so kind to at least consider the possibility of preaching in my ordination service? And he accepted immediately. And I was thrilled for a number of reasons. First off, in the Lutheran Church in America, though I came from, I know I'm going to bore a lot of you about this, but I came from the American Lutheran Church, switched over at the last minute just before ordination so I could go overseas as a missionary. In the American Lutheran Church, you were ordained in your home congregation or whatever congregation you wished. And the bishop would send somebody or the bishop himself would show up and they would ordain you. But in the Lutheran Church in America, you were ordained at the Synod Assembly. And the fact that the bishop allowed me to be ordained in my home congregation was a huge thing. And so I wrote the service, and I pulled all the people together who were going to be a part of it, especially the preacher. And it was an impactful day because on that day we used the text that was the gospel reading for this morning, the baptism of Jesus. I never could, at the time as I was writing the service, didn't understand why the preacher chose that particular text. But I said, hey, well, whatever, he knows more than I do. He has a PhD in theology. He's got to know more than I do, so I let it go. And the words that he spoke that day were unbelievable. And one of the things that he said was that after reading this text, he says, at this particular moment, Jesus receives his ordination. The baptism of Jesus is his ordination service. Because at that moment, he received holy orders about what his life was to be. After all, when the heavens opened up and spoke, this is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased, it became evident immediately that his purpose was to live out his Father's will, to speak it and to live it in every way possible. This was his ordination. His only orders were to live and speak the will of God. And we know what follows. It's that in his baptism, he received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and that same Spirit drives him away from the water and away from people out into the desert by himself. That same Spirit makes you wonder what kind of gift that really was. But he's driven out into the desert. And it was a remarkable experience if you think about it, because the desert was a place most forgotten. And many of us, if we look at that experience of Jesus in the desert, we think, oh my gosh, no food, no water, 40 days, 40 nights, the cold, the shiver, the heat of the sun, sand, stone, rocks everywhere. What kind of existence is that? Must have been really, really difficult. How many of you would volunteer to do the same? Ah, that's what I thought. Difficult. Yet, what we see in the baptism of Jesus and the subsequent responses of 40 days in the desert is that Jesus comes back confirmed in who he is. This is what he was doing out there in the desert with no food, reflecting on Scripture, spending a lot of time in prayer, trying to wonder, what does it mean to be the Son of God? What does it mean to be given the holy orders to fulfill the will of God in word and in deed? And he struggles with that. But out of that struggle comes a victory, the first in his ministry. For he becomes victorious, recognizing now that his way is to lead him to Golgotha and to the cross. To fulfill faithfully the will of God was to give everything that he had for the sake of humanity. What an incredible experience. But it didn't end there, see? Because we see that there are desert experiences, moments in which he needs to go back and remember the promise of the Spirit. In fact, I think that every time in the New Testament where it says Jesus goes off to pray by himself, he's not just going off because he wants to be away from people. I think he goes off because he needs to refocus on his purpose, to look again, to get back in touch with the Spirit. You say, you've led me this far. Now, where are we going? I kind of know it's going to Golgotha, but what does this mean? What's my next step? What am I to be saying? And he searches out in those prayers and in those moments, reflecting on Scripture. That's what the Spirit does. Reminds us of things that were said by Jesus to help him confirm ever more clearly what it is that he is about. That's his desert experience. You've had baptismal experiences. In fact, every time we gather around the baptismal font, it's one more experience. Every time a child or an adult is baptized here, we renew our own baptism. We've had baptismal experiences throughout our lives, and we've had desert experiences, have we not? Times in which we wonder who we are, what we're about. Where is this all thing going to? We ask critical questions. We search for meaning and understanding through Scripture, through prayer, through others who have been through those kinds of things. We look for some word of hope in the midst of it. And as difficult as those moments can be, and some of you might be in them right now, as difficult as they might be, we know that more often than not, we have come out as victors. Because we've come out with a clear understanding, not a perfect understanding, but a clear understanding of who God is, what God expects of us, and how God continues to support us and feed us in the midst of the desert experiences in our lives. As a congregation, I believe in the last 15 years, you've been through a baptismal experience. In the last 15 years, Pastor Frank has taught you what it means to be God's people. He has instructed you, guided you, and maybe even through the model of his own life, has led you to understand ever more clearly what it means when God says, "And I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth," a very promise made at your baptism. I'm sure that in the last 15 years, he has taught you what it means to be God's people and to be gifted by God with the Holy Spirit to guide you and instruct you on your way. Doesn't mean you didn't have those moments, those desert kind of experiences out there, but he led you through them, guided you with the Spirit, and brought you back to see more clearly what your purpose is as a community and as a congregation, as the body of Christ. And now we enter a desert experience. That's why I'm here. I love the desert. It's filled with questions, filled with wonderment, filled with challenges, filled with confusion at times. But it is a time in which we are also led clearly by the Spirit. It is the Spirit that has led you here. It's the Spirit that inspired Pastor Frank to resign and to become what I long to be someday. To be off on doing his own thing and finding his own direction in a different way. It is that same Spirit that has now led you here to this new desert experience, asking questions, wondering, where are we going? What does God expect from us? How has He led us? And where is He leading us now? What kind of people are needed to deepen that mission and ministry, and to deepen the cause before us, to help us see more clearly what is required of us, and to lead us into places where we need to go to be faithful in our call? This is a desert experience. It is not time then to be overly angst, to be overly concerned and anxious about what's going to happen. This isn't a time to wish things could go back the way they were, or somehow maybe in the future rush through this desert, these 40 days, so we can press on to more important things. No, this is a blessed time. This is a Spirit-led time. This is the moment that God has given you as a community to find yourself in prayer as did Jesus, to search out Scripture as did Jesus, and to begin to trust the gift of the Holy Spirit to guide you and to help you answer the questions that are before you. This is a desert experience time, not one of fear. It is one filled with grace and hope and optimism, because the promises of our baptism of the gift of the Spirit is the same Spirit that is present now as we gather in prayer, as we gather in study, as we gather in meeting after meeting after meeting to search out with the gift of the Spirit, where are we going and what are we about? And if you think this process is easy, we've already begun as well to try to understand, what is youth ministry? How do we envision that? What is the Spirit guiding us? The questions only become more numerous as we continue deeper into this experience. But the experience is only 40 days and 40 nights. There is an end. There is an end to it. There is a time in which questions are answered. Profiles are put together. Church study, or what do you call yourselves? The church? Church scene investigators' work is done, and we find ourselves once again looking and moving forward to new possibilities, to new beginnings, and to deeper ministry. This desert experience is required from all of us. It is a body experience. All of us need to be involved in it. We need to be so in prayer. We need to be so in study. In every survey that comes out, in every focus group that comes together, in every meeting that is possible, we all need to be a part of it, to ask the questions, to be there in prayer, to discover in Scripture, as well as to learn from one another. Because it is through those experiences that the Spirit works in a community of faith that calls upon God's name. There is an end, but while we're in it, then let us trust what we know brought us here, and that is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen.